You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet all of you wherever you're listening, in the car, on a computer. We're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon, and we've been doing this program for 18 plus years, and God gave us the name way back, Raising the Standard. And so we do a lot of things with the Jewish roots and the Hebrew understanding of the scripture. So many things are being left out that we don't hear about today in so many circles, and God wants us to know everything, because Jesus even said himself, he says, salvation is of the Jews. So we need to find out what God showed them. And then remember, if you're a born-again believer in Christ, you are a grafted-in Jewish person. You're a grafted-in believer in Christ because you're part of the natural tree. We're the unnatural branch. Amen? So we're spiritual Jews, whether we like it or not, aren't we, Pastor Don?
We're one in the Lord.
One in the Lord. So we greet you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And there's so much that could be said, but we only have an hour. We can only do so much. So we kind of ventured in last week talking a little bit about Passover, and we're coming up. We're about a week and a half or so away now. It's going to be the season. And so Donna's got a couple announcements about our Jewish Seder that we do every single year. So I'll let her take over and talk about those things, and then we'll go on and talk about some interesting things about the Passover season. Trust you can stay tuned in. Have ears to hear what the Spirit of God's going to show you. Listen. And he's going to reveal some things to you maybe you've never heard before. And it might be shocking in some cases, but God wants you to know the truth, because Jesus says, when you know the truth, it will make you free. Amen. All right, Pastor Donna.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are still recovering, and we're getting stronger every day.
Every day.
Trusting in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
God Almighty. Actually, we're really less than 2 weeks away, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
Next Friday is the first day, is the eve of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we're going to be talking about that. But even before that, we know that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, mm-hmm. rode into Jerusalem on Nisan 10. And Nisan 10 will be this coming Monday, the 18th. And some people are saying, wow, I thought people already celebrated Resurrection Day. Well, yes, many people did, and most, 99% of the church did, didn't they?
That's right.
But not all of the church understands about
the biblical calendar.
The biblical calendar, and
that's
we
right.
need to get on God's calendar.
That's it.
Yes, we do. So I want to mention before we start talking about this, do you want to stay tuned? Because you want to find out the truth, don't you? Bible says the truth will make us free, as Pastor just said. But we are now in the month of Nisan, and I'm glad that we are in the month of Nisan. Praise God.
So years ago, it was called Abib.
Abib, yes.
Before the captivity,
and
yeah.
Even Abib.
A-B-I-B sometimes is
yes,
spelled, yeah.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right. So today, we have services here this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday every weekend. And so if you'd like to come and visit us, or you'd like to know more about the ministry, you can give us a phone call. I will give you the phone number in just a minute. But we have every Friday night, we get together at 7 o'clock to celebrate the beginning of the Sabbath. And not legalistically, but because we choose to. Because, you know, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know, that was, God told that to Moses. And the Sabbath was established right in the very beginning. If you go back and you read your entire Bible, if you start in the book of Genesis, you will see that God established the Sabbath right there in the very beginning of the Bible. So God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed it to another day. He hasn't changed the number.
Nope.
God doesn't change numbers and days. No. Saturday means Sabbath.
Sabbath.
That's actually probably the only one
it's
of the
Sunday.
Days that's on the calendar that has this, that means Saturday, means seven. But anyways, you know, God even didn't. He numbered the days and he numbered the months. So we really got things messed up.
Sure
and
did.
That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants us to be all messed up and confused.
He's the author of confusion, isn't he?
So we don't know what's going on. We don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
We don't know what year it is. And we don't know what month it is. You know, people are celebrating things in the wrong month, the wrong time of the year. We don't even know the seasons of the year. People celebrate things in the wrong seasons
that's
of the
right.
year. So there's a lot of confusion and everything's been mixed up. And of course we know that John 10:10 says, what, the thief, which is the devil, what
come.
Does he come to do? He comes to steal, kill
and
destroy. So he wants to steal the truth from us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he wanted to kill Yeshua and he thought he had done it, but he didn't.
That's right.
And so the month of Nisan is the month that Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. You know, Yeshua always celebrated all the feasts of the Lord. And so he celebrated Passover, and he did it in a little different way. And you know, we do it in a little different way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know Yeshua is our Passover. Yeshua is the Passover. He was the Passover lamb. He's the once and final. And so what we do when we have our Passover, we talk about, you know, the coming out of Egypt, we talk about deliverance. Well, he's delivered us. We've been delivered from the curse of the enemy, the devil. And so we do it a little bit differently. But you know, I think about it. Yeshua did it differently too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he told
sure
them
did.
Some tough things that they didn't understand about his body and about the blood and about the bread.
Absolutely.
And so they didn't understand those things. So what we do at Passover is we teach. We have a meal. And then we teach about the things of the Lord and about why is Passover so important.
Right.
And of course, you know, like I said, the enemy doesn't want you to know the right time. Well,
He wants
to confuse us. So the Passover is always in the month of Nisan. Nisan is Abib. It's always the first month. That is the first month, the religious month, or we like to call it the prophetic month.
Yeah.
Spiritual or prophetic month.
Mm-hmm.
It's always number one, and
right.
so we that's when Yeshua had his Passover, and that's when he died and rose, and so we're going to talk about that. But we will be having a Passover Seder, well, not particularly a Seder, but a Passover meal, and we're going to have a meal, and we're going to be teaching about the truth about Passover, and that's going to be on the 24th. That's on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
the first day of the week.
Yeah.
And that is and going to be in the afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, why are you doing it on a Sunday? Why are you doing it on the first day of the week? Well, because it's the time we're doing it. And it's also during the time of what we would call the unleavened bread and the days of first fruits.
That's right.
So if you're interested, you need to give us a call because we have limited seating. And I can't promise you're going to be able to come if you wait to the last minute. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Mm-hmm.
And we also come together on Saturdays. And today it will be at 5 o'clock, and I'm not sure we're going to be exactly what we're going to be doing, but we close out the Sabbath and have a little bite to eat and
pray before we leave.
Pray. And then we come together on the first day of the week, and we worship God because the testimony of Yeshua, or Jesus, is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Yeah, I might just say something.
And that's the name of the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy.
I might just say something here, Pastor. Now, there's a lot of confusion with the church today about, well, you should go to church on Sunday, or you should go to work, go to work.
Yeah, you should go to work, right?
Yeah, go to church on Saturday. Well, there's a wonderful book that was people found in Israel years ago, and it was they proved that it was written within the first 100 years of Christ being on the earth. And it's called the Didache.
Didache.
And if you read in that book real carefully, you can get that if you go to a regular, maybe a Christian bookstore that has a lot of good books in it. If you look it up, it shows over there that they honored, not only did they honor the Sabbath, but they also honored the first day of the week. And so I think it's incredible. So it's not a thing to fight and fuss about. You know, we honor both of them. We do the Sabbath on Friday night, and also we like to gather together on the first day of the week when he rose from the grave and all that. So it's incredible. Amen?
And isn't every day the Lord's
That's
day?
That's right. Every day is the Lord's day.
So
That's right.
We shouldn't be legalistic about when we worship the Lord. Hopefully you worship the Lord when you put your feet on the floor, when you get out of bed in the morning, and you take authority over the works of the enemy.
Yep.
You know, every day is the Lord's day. And, you know, God wants us to worship him every day.
You know, I've offered this book that I wrote quite a few years ago to anyone that wants it, the God's Prophetic Calendar with pictures of the Messiah through God's appointed times. There's something in this book I was looking at this morning that I wrote. I'd like to just read this one paragraph to you. And I think people might say, well, how did all this stuff start? How did we get all this paganism? How did we get all this stuff that's wrong? And we picked up on it. And I'm just going to read this to you. This book I've got is available for you for $25, plus maybe $3 or $4 for shipping and handling. We need to clarify and explain some things, how and why the Jewishness was taken out of the Scripture. You know this Bible I got in front of me, Pastor Donna? This is a Jewish document. It's what it is.
That's right.
Well, listen to this. This out-of-balance theology that we have today is due to a course of events which took place over 2.5 centuries following the Apostle Paul's death. Remember, Paul was a Torah-keeping Jew. You remember that if you read your Bible? As time went along, there were larger numbers of Gentiles coming to faith in Yeshua than there were Jews. That's why it got lopsided. Often they would bring pagan concepts and religious practices with them. Shortly after the death of Paul, approximately 66 AD, the Jewish people rebelled against the Roman Empire and made a bid for independence in 66 to 70 AD. At this point, anything considered Jewish was determined to be unpatriotic to Rome. This is what caused the problem. Anti-Semitism became very popular. To make matters worse, a second world war with Rome in 135 AD again weakened the role of the Jewish believers in the Messianic congregations. As the Jewish voice died, the anti-Semitic Gentiles ripped out every trace of the Jewish people that could be found. Substitution of biblical festivals by pagan beliefs was rampant. By the time of the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, Constantine, he was the emperor of Rome, who was very anti-Semitic, had taken over the church. Laws were issued forbidding Jewish believers to circumcise their children. Passover was replaced with Easter, the Babylonian fertility goddess. The Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, was replaced by Christmas, the Roman birthday of the sun god, and so on. Even the Gospels and the Epistles were Gentilized when they translated them into other languages and were given common Gentile names and idiomatic thoughts, causing people to miss the intended Jewishness of those scriptures. Now,
they couldn't keep the Sabbath either.
No. So we think about what's an idiom? It's something that's unique to a particular language. In Yeshua's day, an idiom was an expression that is peculiar to itself in a specific language. We have a lot of them today. And if we said tomorrow's Turkey Day, we'd all know it was Thanksgiving, wouldn't we? Some examples. 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul said face to face. This is a scripture referring to the Day of Atonement. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, is the last trump also. This idiom refers to the Feast of Trumpets. The same is true with Matthew 24:36. This idiom, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, refers to looking for the new moon. The only festival falling on a new moon was trumpets. So we need to clarify some things, don't we? And we wouldn't be so shocked at what we find out.
You know, I think about how people have been deceived.
Sure they have.
Tricked, deceived.
That's right.
A lie. Mm-hmm. You know, we were going to a church on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, which is when the church celebrated it. And we have to pull into McDonald's, right?
Right.
And, you can't just change people overnight. It has to be by the Spirit of God. And And, you know, God gives us, I believe God has appointed times, appointments for us, you know.
Sure does, all the time.
With the different people, with people, whenever.
Amen.
And we have some all the time, every day, you know, different times. And so this lady who was serving us, you know, she happened to say, Happy Easter, right? And I said, well, Happy Resurrection Day.
Right.
And she said back to me, Happy Passover. And so, you know, when I use the word resurrection, see, I didn't come at her, you know, condemning her what she said, because people are ignorant. They don't
know.
They've learned these things, you know, because they've been taught these things in their churches.
Years and years and years.
In their Methodist church, their Baptist church, wherever they go.
That's it.
They don't say, they all say Easter. They don't say, you know, even talk about resurrection. They don't even have resurrection out there on their, outside, you know, on their bulletins or wherever they put things. But, you know, so I invited her. I said, you know, Passover is really next month. I was telling her this was back a month ago or a few weeks ago. And she said, yeah, Passover. That's when, you know, when Jesus died. And she started crying. She had tears come in her eyes. And I said, you know, would you like to come? I'm going to bring you by a flyer, an invitation. I'm going to invite you to come to our Passover service, Passover meal. And she was really touched. Even when she walked away, I saw her walk away and go over and grab a napkin and
wipe her eyes.
So, you know, God touches people. And so
we got a flyer to her.
You went in there a week or so ago.
Gave her a flyer.
And she was so thankful to get it.
That's right.
You know, so, and she says, will you pray for me? And she told us what her name was. She said, will you pray for me? So you went in there and you mentioned her name. And she's, you know, is so-and-so here. She came up and she, you know, when you remember somebody's name, and see, God has places and people for that we can touch that are ready to hear the truth. Not everyone is ready. So, you know, when you try to cram something down somebody's throat, they don't receive it. But when somebody's ready, you know, and they're starting to seek, then, you know, there's an open door.
Sure is.
And so, you know, God is always opening doors for us.
It opens your heart.
Even the new people that might come to this teaching to hear about Passover, you know, they're going to hear something, and then they're going to want to know, and then they're going to tell somebody else. And that's how the word gets around, you know, the truth of the word. And that's why we're on this radio program called Raising the Standard. Because what did the Lord tell us to do? To raise the standard,
to speak
the truth about the feasts of the Lord, because Yeshua is coming back again soon for the church, to catch us away, and people need to get ready. People need to know the truth, and so this is why we're here. This is exactly why we're here, and so it's exciting to be able to share these things with you all who are listening. And I know some people may be listening for the very first time. Well, we've been on this radio broadcast for
18 plus years.
And some people have been listening. We had a couple come last week, and they said they've been listening for a long time.
That's right.
Well, you know, and then we get to meet them. So it's nice to meet somebody either by they come or by telephone. But some people this may be the very first time, even though we've been on this radio broadcast for so long. And we're also on the internet. So you can, if you like what you're hearing, or you want to hear more of it, or you want to tell a friend about it, you know, tell them to go to WCNO.com and every Saturday at 12 noon, or you can go there anytime and listen to the rebroadcast of what we're going to say right now and other things that we've talked about in the past. WCNO.com, and just, you know, go on to their program guide and go to Saturday, and you'll see Raising the Standard at 12 noon with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. So we're blessed to be on this radio broadcast, and we just thank the Lord that He has opened the door for us to be able to do this and to bring the truth of about the feasts of the Lord.
Amen. It's all about Him.
It's all about Him.
That's right, about Yeshua.
So we're going to be celebrating the true time.
That's right.
The real time.
Same time Israel will be celebrating.
When Israel will be celebrating Passover, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for Israel, that when they see and they break that matzah, and they talk about their deliverance, you know, out of Egypt, the history and all that, that they will see that the Messiah has already come to bring them deliverance.
Hallelujah.
And so that their eyes would be open. Many Jewish people's eyes are being opened now, to see the truth and to want to know about the gospel,
to
know about what Yeshua did and his resurrection and the power that he has given us when we become believers. He said he would give us power.
Hallelujah.
To overcome all the works of the enemy.
Yes,
and he
Lord.
Said he would baptize us with the
Holy Ghost and fire. That's right.
And that's what you just heard Pastor Gene praying in, the Holy Ghost. So, you know, the Holy Ghost is a gift. It's not something you have to earn. You just need to believe.
Ask and receive.
Believe in Yeshua. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask him. He said he wouldn't hold back any gifts. He will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is the power that keeps your engine going.
That's right.
And we need to keep going. We don't need to get down and depressed. If you're down and you're depressed and you need to stir up. See, Paul told Timothy, he says, stir up the gift that's within you.
Within you, that's right.
By the laying on of hands. We laid hands on a lovely lady this week.
Yeah,
that's been doing therapy with Pastor Gene with his leg, and so we said, can we pray for you?
She kind of got shook.
I'll tell you, she was touched, you know.
Yeah.
And so here we've had these 8 sessions with her. He's had, and each session we've got to say a little bit about her life. She's told us about her life. We told her about our life.
And about
God.
Huh?
She asked questions. We don't force things on her, but she'll ask a question. It'll open a door.
That's right.
You know, she asked a question about children. I gave her scriptures. Will you write that down for me, she said. Gave her scriptures. And then last Thursday was our last time to see her. And we said, and we invited her also to come.
Seder,
and she's
right.
got a friend that's Jewish. We taught her a couple Jewish words.
That's right.
You know, a little here, a little there. That's what the Bible, that's what it says, doesn't it?
Line upon line.
We're all lights, and we need to all shine somewhere. You know,
that's
we need
right.
to let our light out and let it shine.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
God has these appointments for us, you know.
Sure does.
And here we had 8 weeks, 8 appointments with her, and each one, she was glad to see us come each
time.
She
was, yeah.
And I think she was saying, she said, you know, you blessed me. And Pastor Gene said, well, you blessed me, you know.
That's right.
And she says, well, I feel like you really blessed me. And so I said, can we pray for you? And she was so accepting of that, wanting to have prayer. And, you know, she's got a Jewish friend.
Sure.
Who's not born again.
Yeah.
And so we talked to her about some Jewish things. And gave her some, you know, a couple words that she could, you know, that she was like, shalom. We always say shalom at the end, right, of the program. And we just taught her a few words. And she was really blessed. And so, you know, I think we're going to see her again.
Probably.
Sometime.
Maybe she'll come to the Seder. She was invited, so gave her a flyer.
We gave her our phone number. We said, you know, call anytime you need prayer. You know, God will always... It's a love. It's people see the love that you have for them, because you know you don't have to do things for people who are, perhaps you know, helping you with your leg like they were helping you with the getting the fluids out of your leg, that massage you were getting, you know, that was their job. But she received blessings as well, and so you know God wants us to be able to. To
bless
be,
other
to
people.
Use. He
yeah.
wants to use us. He
Hallelujah.
Wants to use you.
Mm-hmm.
So just be ready. He says that we're supposed to be ready when? In season mm-hmm. and out of season.
Out of season.
No matter what.
That's right.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a couple testimonies. But we're going to talk about Passover here.
That's right. You know, there's so much we could talk about Passover that we could have 25 or 30 hours on the radio just to talk about the things with Passover. It's so in-depth. And so the book goes into a lot of detail, but there's a lot of other things as well. You know, we got this myth going around at the Passover season that Jesus died on a Friday and all that. Well, that's impossible according to the scriptures. And you can see it if you look at the scriptures. And the funny thing is some of these verses that we have in the book, we find out if the teachers knew the Greek grammar, is it plural? Or is it singular? They could find out some things that would open their eyes. And so God wanted us to know about these high Sabbaths that's in the Word of God that people don't even know about. And this proves that he could not have died on a Friday, okay? And so the interesting, there's 7 of them. Interesting, here's God's number, right?
7.
Everything. God has a 7,000-year plan to restore mankind and the earth back the way it was in the beginning. Now we have 7 high Sabbaths. Well, when are they? They all revolve around God's appointed times. We have two days during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, first and last day. The Feast of Weeks is another one. The Feast of Trumpets is another one. The Day of Atonement. And then we have 2 days in Tabernacles, the first and last day. There's seven of them. So those are very key to determine certain things that's been said in the Word of God that we've misconstrued, and we've been teaching a lie for hundreds of years about all this. And it's right in the Bible. It's never changed. Amen?
You know, so, I think most first graders know how to count to three.
That's right.
Even 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds know how to count to three. And you can't get three full days and full nights from Friday to
That's
Sunday.
That's right, you sure can.
But I think what we need to do, Pastor Gene, because even there's a discrepancy even in the church and even in the Messianic, whether it was on a Wednesday or whether it was on a Thursday.
That's right.
You know, but the point is that I think we need to stick to what the Bible says. It says it was Nisan 14.
That's right. That's the day he died.
Nisan 14. So we need to stick to Nisan 14.
That was the preparation day.
Preparation day.
For unleavened bread.
It was in the evening. And we know he rode into Jerusalem.
On the 10th?
On the 10th of Nisan. So when the Bible gives us these numbers, see, God likes numbers. When he gives us these numbers, let's don't try to manipulate them into certain days.
That's right.
If we just stick with the numbers of what God says, then we won't get into this discrepancy
right.
of one day. You know, it's not worth arguing over, you know, one day, whether it was Wednesday, whether it was Thursday. But let's stick to what God says. You know, and God always says, He tells you the month. And how does he tell you the month? If you don't, 1, 2, 3, and the months were numbered.
The 6th month, the 7th month, and what is that?
The months were numbered.
That's
you know?
Right.
Who put all the names in the months, you know? The months were numbered. The days were numbered.
That's right.
And so now with our calendar, what do we have? We have all these pagan months. We have all these pagan
days of the week.
Days. And so when you say, people say Sunday, well, maybe we should just say day, first day of the week.
Right.
Because if you say Sunday, you think everybody who knows anything about this, I think, well, that's a sun god. Well, that's exactly why they wanted to put that on there. That's why, way you talked about way back then, who was it, Constantine?
Yeah.
That's why he wanted to put that on there, because they worship the sun. They worship the sun.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's some things coming up this month, Pastor Gene, that we don't really have much time to talk about, but I would just tell people to keep an eye on Tuesday the 19th next week, because there's things, even the things, satanic things, we don't have time to talk about that right now either, but satanic things that will start, that will last for a number of days, 13 days. And, you know, these things that you can, and there's other things that are possibly going to happen on that 19th. So, you know, we need to be aware, because, you know, things are happening, and, you know, a lot of times the enemy wants to come in and interrupt what God has on his calendar. And what does God have on his calendar during this time? He has the days of Passover.
That's right.
The days of Passover and the days of
unleavened
bread.
He's got it all laid out.
That's right.
And it will not deviate. So even like these things, it's incredible.
And these days will start with Nisan 10, and it will go through first, it'll go through unleavened bread and the days of first fruits.
So you look at
the counting of the Omer.
That's right.
We're talking about the barley harvest.
That's right, counting that up to Pentecost, yes. But the thing, the Passover season is from Nisan 10, till the 21st, they consider the Passover season. So you think about it, all the lambs that were to be sacrificed in the temple were all raised in Bethlehem, where Yeshua was born. And so the day that they brought the lambs in on Nisan 10 to the temple, right after, it's when Yeshua rode in on the donkey, and he's the Lamb of God. Okay?
And where was he born?
That's right,
in Bethlehem.
And so they brought the lambs into the temple that would be sacrificed, and what did they do? It was open. People could go in and examine the lambs to make sure they were without spot or wrinkle. Well, Jesus was in there for 4 days also, and he was examined like never before. He had the hardest questions asked to him during those 4 days and any other time in his life. So he had to be perfect also, and he was.
Perfect Lamb of God.
So people don't understand a lot of things that we need to know, you know.
And, you know, when we went to Israel, and we went into Bethlehem.
Right.
And, you know, and we had a Jewish
guide
on our tour bus,
Brother Gideon. Yeah,
he had to get off because don't allow Jewish people in Bethlehem.
Nope.
Now, isn't that interesting?
All they got in there was Palestinians and Christians.
And then we went in there, and it was a bit surprising to see the houses, because, you know, right on the front of their house, you knew which one was a Christian house.
That's right.
You knew which one was not.
They had
signs, and they had, you know,
symbols
on their house, on the front of their house, telling what they were a Muslim or a Christian. But no Jews were allowed to come in there or live in there.
Yeah.
And that's where Yeshua came, was born.
Born.
And that's where the lambs came from.
That's right.
For the sacrifice.
It's amazing.
So you
what
see
happened.
How the enemy has
came. He came to steal, kill, and destroy.
Keep the Jewish people out of there now.
That's right. The place where Yeshua was born.
They can't go and they can't live in Bethlehem. They can't even go into
to
there.
Visit. Yeah, you they got a gate.
There's a gate. There's a gate, and you can't get in there unless you know you are either a tourist or you live there.
They check every bus. If there's any Jews on there, they ask. You're off. Get off the bus. You can get back on when we come back out.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. But anyway, it's a shame. But if we just look at the Bible with the grammar and all, we find out that Jesus couldn't have died on Friday because if we look at those high Sabbaths I just talked about, there's seven of them. Well, think about it. Nisan 14 is the day that Yeshua died. It's also called the day of preparation. The next day was what? The first day of unleavened bread. It was a high Sabbath. So they had a Sabbath day that day. And then the next day was the weekly Sabbath. So there was two Sabbaths during that week of Jesus' passion.
The two Sabbaths.
That's right. And so this is what people don't know. And that's what brings all the confusion because they don't know the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And even John mentioned it in... Let me see if I can find that real quick. You can keep talking. I'll find it.
You mean where it says there were two Sabbaths?
Yeah, I just want to show this to you. It's very key what he had to say about this. So right here. It's in John chapter 19. Verse 31 says, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, the Sabbath, the preparation day was actually the day that Jesus died, okay? The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day. Now this was added in. John wrote this in. For that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. So, we have a clue. So we have all the clues. And if you look over in Luke chapter 24, it talks about when the women came to the tomb. It says after the Sabbath. If you look at that in the Greek grammar, it's plural. After the Sabbath, they came. They had to rest on what?
Today.
The high Sabbath. And they had to rest also on what? The weekly Sabbath.
The weekly
Sabbath. So we have all. It's right here in the scriptures. But people just have not looked at it that way. Because we've got away from all the Jewish understanding and the things that God put in place. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on since Constantine was on the earth. It's how bad it's been. And so we need to find out the truth. And then we can teach the truth. But you know, you tell a lie long enough, as I say all the time, it becomes truth to a lot of people. And so this thing about Jesus dying on Friday has been handed down for hundreds of years. And they still believe it. So
or
why don't we're
using the word Easter as which is
right.
a very pagan, is pagan. You know, where do you read in the Bible that there were bunnies and
Easter eggs?
And eggs. I mean, that's the biggest lie, you know, and baskets, you know.
That's right.
Bunnies bring eggs and kids go out and collect them in baskets, you know, and candy.
They use bunnies because they multiply fast. And remember, Easter was a Babylonian fertility god Romans worshipped. And it's right around this, close to the same time as the Passover season. That's why the King James has the word in there.
And that's why the King James has it. And actually,
to
we
tell
said
us the
before,
truth.
The gentleman that comes on before us, he had a very good
explanation of all of it.
Explanation of that.
That's right.
And saying why that was in there. And so people have been deceived. And I wish the King James Bible had made it clearer to people to understand that. But, you know, that's exactly how the enemy works. Well, I want to go back over here to Leviticus chapter 23, Pastor Gene, where it talks about the Passover.
Amen.
And, you know, a lot of people think, in fact, we said this on the air not too long ago, and it got one person really stirred up to think about it, you know, these feasts, because they're not, and because a lot of time people think about, well, those are Jewish holidays. Those are Jewish feasts.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it says that nowhere in the Bible. It says that I know of. It mm-hmm. doesn't say that anywhere. It says here in 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord.
Well, they're not the Jewish feast, they're the feast of the Lord. They just celebrate them.
It just so happens that he spoke to the children of Israel.
Right.
And but you know, there was a mixed congregation with them as well.
Sure.
When they came out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So he says they're the feasts of the Lord. And so that can shake some people up because
sure.
they can say, mm-hmm. well, you know, is this the feast of the church? You know, mm-hmm. is this Israel? No, these are all the feasts of the Lord. Which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Is this Israel? No, those are all the faith of the Lord. Which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And it says in verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest.
Another holy convocation.
That is, the seventh day is always the Sabbath
That's
of
right.
rest. And holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. See,
sure.
It's the Sabbath of the Lord.
Lord.
It's a time to worship the Lord, to spend time with the Lord, to
in
spend
all your
time
dwellings.
With your family, in
mm-hmm.
all your dwellings.
So really, when you think about it, you know, we talk about the seven appointed times as mentioned in Leviticus 23. There's really eight because the Sabbath is one
the
of them.
The Sabbath is the first one set up.
First one, yeah.
And
Go
verse
ahead.
4 says, these are the feasts of the Lord. Now he's going to tell us the feasts. See the S on the end of that?
Mm-hmm.
Feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations.
Set apart times, yeah.
Which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. And what does it say in Genesis 1? Times and seasons that we would what? Because God had already planned this, right?
All right.
That times and seasons would be set up and that we should know the times and the season. Talks about it in the New Testament as well. We should know the times and the seasons, so we should not be ignorant.
Genesis 1:14 says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years.
See, now this is to go on forever.
That's right. Never going to stop.
Even during the millennium, this
That's
is
right.
to go on forever
That's
and
right.
ever. God set this in place. He set it in order. You know, when God sets something in order, it's set. We just got finished going through Purim and talked about the king. When the king made a decree, it was set.
That's it.
You can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
No, God set it in order. So God is the king, and he set things in order. So these are feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. So what are we supposed to do? We need to proclaim Passover in this season.
That's it.
Because this is the season of
mm-hmm.
Passover.
You got it.
So we need to proclaim it.
Mm-hmm.
It says here in 5, in the 14th day, of the
first
month.
So if you don't know your calendar, you're lost, aren't you?
So we know that now this is the first month.
You know,
so we could say in month 1, day 14.
That's right. Nissan.
Nissan
back
or
then it was called Abib.
Right. This is the first month, the spiritual of the spiritual prophetic or religious calendar, and it is on the 14th day
right.
of the first month at eve. Is the Lord's Passover.
It says it's the Lord's Passover.
It's the Lord's Passover. So here we have this. This is what God, the Lord, spoke to Moses, and he told them to tell this to the people. So it's right there. It's as clear as could be.
That's right.
Number 1 month, number 14 day. So this is exactly when Yeshua
he had to die
gave
on
up
that
his
day.
Life.
That's right.
He gave it up.
That's right.
He, you know, he wasn't forced to give it up. He could have walked away. Didn't he walk away from things? He walked
yep.
away from things that in the temple. He just disappeared.
But he knew this was his
but
destiny.
He knew that this was his time. He knew what his
That's
purpose
right.
was. He knew why he came to earth. He knew why God sent him to earth.
That's right.
He knew that he would fulfill this, and this would be, he would be the final sacrifice. So
Thank
we need
him.
To pray that the Jewish people will see this during this time.
That's right.
That he is the one who gave his life on the 14th day of this first month.
Now, if you go on, the next tells you what the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But I was looking at verse 7 caught my eye. The first day you shall have a holy convocation. It's a high Sabbath, in other words. So they were actually dress rehearsals. You shall do no servile work therein. There you are. And,
so,
the seventh day was a high Sabbath.
So let's just read it in context.
Okay.
And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the very next day, unleavened bread starts. And that
That's
is
right.
always on a full moon.
Yep.
That
15th.
Will always be,
always
the,
be
15th
on a full moon.
Of the 15th of any of the months would be a full moon.
Not on our calendar, but on the lunar calendar.
You have to look at the lunar calendar. If you want a copy of the calendar that I have made for this month, you just call and we'd be glad to send you one. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What is unleavened bread? It's bread that has no leaven in it.
Does it rise?
Jesus is our unleavened bread. When
yes,
we take
is.
Communion every Friday, we take communion every Friday.
With
we take communion.
Bread.
We have unleavened bread. We have matzah. We break it.
That's right.
We are all part of the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
We have one large piece of matzah, picture of Yeshua, with stripes on it, burnt marks on it, piercings on it, just like what it says in Isaiah. All these stripes and these marks and these piercing and unleavened bread. No leaven. Leaven is a picture of sin. So he was our sinless sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
So when we take communion, Pastor Gene and I, we've been on healing, and we've been taking communion every night before we go to bed. So we've been taking communion sometimes in the morning, mostly at nighttime. So that we use the matzah, the unleavened bread, and the juice, the grape juice. So on the 14th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the 15th day,
mm-hmm.
unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So now we're talking about 7 days, which would be the days of first fruits. They have what? During that time, they
have unleavened bread.
They don't have any bread in their house.
Nope.
You know, they clean out their houses. You get rid of all the bread, all the crumbs. You know, they take even a feather and they do these things, and they just they want to clean the house.
That's
what sort of spring cleaning came from?
So first fruits falls during unleavened bread. Those 7 days.
So those 7 days, ye must eat unleavened bread. No leaven, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the first day, ye shall have a holy convocation. So when is that first day? Would be on the
15th. That's a high Sabbath.
That was
the
high Sabbath.
There was no work to be done. See what it says? You shall do no servile work therein.
That's right. That would be on the
15th of Nisan.
That would be the high Sabbath that Pastor Gene was talking about before.
Yeah.
Okay. You shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein. That's why they couldn't go to the grave of Yeshua and anoint him more. You know, they had to be, they had to wait until
mm-hmm.
after these days, after mm-hmm. the Sabbath, and after this high holy Sabbath. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord
mm-hmm.
7 days.
Yeah.
7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation.
So there's your second high Sabbath at the close of unleavened bread.
At the close of unleavened bread, there would be another high Sabbath.
And you'll do no work.
You shall do no servile work.
That's right.
So it doesn't actually talk about the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, but we always know the weekly Sabbath is always there.
That's right.
So we've got the weekly Sabbath, and we've got the high Sabbath before the weekly Sabbath.
That's it.
On the 15th, mm-hmm. it would be the high Sabbath, and then you would have the weekly Sabbath follow that. So here he's telling Moses is giving all these instructions that the Lord spoke
about how to handle all these high Sabbaths and also the appointed times. It's all in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
What to do? It's all prophetic to Yeshua. Every single thing in here is prophetic to Yeshua.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
It's amazing when you think about it. God has a thread going through the entire Bible on every page,
pointing us to our first fruits.
Yeshua the Messiah.
See? Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's amazing.
Thank you, Father God.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
And then in the same chapter, verses 9 through 15 talks about first fruits and the waving of the sheaf and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And then starting in verse 15, they're going to count those 49 days up to the Feast of Pentecost. Okay?
Well, that would be the next Feast of the Lord, which we'll talk about that later.
When the time comes, yeah.
When the time comes, it will be 50 days.
Right.
After, from this time. So, you know, this is a very important time because we think about the things that Jesus did during this time, this week. This was his week, his passion week,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
That's right.
His passion week.
Right. Now somebody might question this about a holy convocation being a Sabbath. If you look at, we're still in chapter 23, just look at verse 39. Now this is taking us out to the end of the year, in the fall. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, this is Tishri, it's a full moon again. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. Now listen to this. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. So here's your high Sabbath. And the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? So it's revealed in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. So the Jews honored all those. And so during the week that Jesus died, there was two Sabbaths. The high Sabbath and also the weekly Sabbath. So we study the Word of God, we got to find out, which Sabbath is he talking about? Or maybe he's talking about both of those Sabbaths. In Luke chapter 24, he's talking about both of those Sabbaths.
Mm-hmm.
When the women came to the tomb,
Thank you, Lord.
Had to wait till the first high Sabbath, which was unleavened bread, the first day was over, and they had to wait till the weekly Sabbath was over. And then they came to the tomb. So there's some little clues, but people just, I don't know. It's what we've been taught. And so we just continue to believe a lie instead of letting the truth make us free. Amen?
That's right.
It's amazing.
That's right.
So the Sabbaths are incredible and important. And Passover, think about it. I've said this hundreds of times. Passover is the most important event that ever happened in history. They rehearsed it for 1,500 years from the time they came out of Egypt. And then it became the real event happened when Yeshua came. It was the most, everything in the first covenant was looking to that day. Now we are way past that day that Christ died and all. Now we can look back and see what it was all about. It was the most important event that ever happened. And so we got to keep that in mind. So everything revolves around the Passover. That's why God used that time during the year even to change the number on the month to show a new birth. You know, he took the seventh month. And he made it the first month. And he took, it's wonderful. And he took the first month on the civil calendar, and he made it the seventh month on the prophetic calendar. So he was showing Israel as well a new birth. A new birth. He was bringing them into something new. It's amazing when we think about what God's got in place.
I just wrote this little, short little thing on the, okay. on the month here I did for this month of Nisan.
Share it.
I'll just share it. It's a little bit about The barley, you know, mm-hmm. barley is very important.
Sure is.
And if we know anything about barley, the barley was the token, like a token resurrection. Also, it's a picture of that. But the month of Aviv is when the barley harvest in Israel is Aviv, A-V-I-V. That's the stage of the grain when the seed has reached its full size, and they're filling up with starch, you know, mm-hmm. but it's not dried out yet. You right. can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, we talked about that every month starts with a new moon. Well, it's interesting, this year, this first month, they didn't see the new moon in Israel. They didn't see it when the calendar said it was supposed to be seen.
And
now,
why?
I'm not saying it wasn't there, but
why?
They couldn't see it the first day or the second day.
Was it because it was overcast
or what?
It's
because there was a haze. There was a haze, and they said that nowhere, as far as every place that I looked, that nowhere in Israel, because they have people on hills, like 48 different places. You know, people can go anywhere and be looking for the new moon, right?
We saw it right out here, didn't we?
We saw it out here, but when we saw it, it had to have been at least two days moon here, because you know you get used to looking for the new moon, and you can tell when it's more than one day. So here, you know, they didn't see it, this because of this haze. And I think that's a prophetic sign.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they didn't mm-hmm. see it. You know, God could have let it been seen someplace in Israel. You know, it's not some of one of those hills. You know, someone could have seen it, but it wasn't seen. And many people were looking for it. So I asked the Lord, I said, why wasn't it seen? Why was there a haze? It's, you know, it's almost like God had a haze, a covering, so that they couldn't see the new moon. And I'm just wondering, what is going to happen this month? You know, what is God, is he revealing things to us that's going to happen? You know, a lot of times we don't know what's going to happen until it happens or we see something that's going to happen. We know there's a lot of things that happen during this month, and basically a lot of pagan things as well has happened during this month. And, you know, things that have been planned, even for the 19th, which... you know, a lot of people may know about it, they may not know about it, but it's not really important for me to talk about those things. But this and the things that they were going to do in New York and in London and different places, you know, around the world, which their plan is,
this,
you know,
Baal thing,
we talk about Baal, but you know, there's Baal. You don't have to have an arch or a statue of Baal to have Baal worship. There's Baal worship all over our country and all over the world today. They worship that terrible spirit, and it's a spirit, and it's a spirit that destroys. It's a murdering spirit. It's a spirit of death, and so all these things are happening. So why was this this hidden, this Rosh Kodesh? Why was this new moon hidden from this new month? You know, I asked myself that question. So I wrote this little thing. I said that the biblical year or prophetic year begins at the sighting of the first new moon at the time of the barley harvest in the land of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, so it was hidden in the land of Israel. Other places saw the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other places in the world saw the new moon, but it was, but the place that needs to be seen is in Israel.
That's right.
Because he's the apple of God's eye is
Israel.
Israel.
Yeah.
When it reaches this the stage of its development, it's called Aviv. We're talking about the barley.
Mm-hmm.
This first month is key to understanding the times and seasons of the Lord. So was God kind of hiding something from the Jewish people, from the world?
Might be a reason,
you know,
yeah.
Is there a reason?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? You know, it's a key. It's key to understanding the times and seasons of the Lord.
Amen.
So of course, we know exactly now when the new moon is. They know because of
technology
and all that. But, you know, the Jews still look for that sign in the sky. That's what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Passover is a time of deliverance for all mankind, they will appropriate it. It's a time for deliverance for all mankind.
It can only be appropriated through the Messiah.
In the heart of God, there is a desire to set all of deliverance free from the bondage of the world and the age in which we live, which includes paganism.
Yeah.
And what's happening this month is there's paganistic things that are happening. Well, even last month when they celebrated what they called Easter, that was pagan.
Yeah, sure was.
That was pagan. And the church
didn't recognize it.
They don't know.
No.
And they think we're a little crazy sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But we need to know the truth. You know, if you're listening to this and you're saying, well, you know, I don't understand what you're saying, but my spirit is quickening,
being quickened
in this.
That's right.
So you know, I need to know more. God wants us to know more.
Order the book.
So, yeah. Which God calls, there's all this paganism, idolatry, and sin. God loves his creation. He established Passover to not only deliver the people of Israel, but also to use these same dates again in the future to reveal the mystery of his son. There's a mystery of his son.
Amen.
In which the Passover lamb's blood would forever free mankind from the power of Satan and the power of sin and death.
Thank you, Lord.
Therefore, the two most dynamic and important events that have ever happened in history are the death and resurrection of our Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
The one and only Messiah for all mankind. He lives.
He lives.
Therefore, we who believe in Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, our Messiah, have a destiny to be fulfilled very soon. Very soon. The resurrection and the catching away to be with the Godhead forever and ever.
That's exciting.
Amen.
To think about it. We can't wait, right?
We can't wait.
But it's in God's timing. Hallelujah.
And it's there's mysteries in the Word of God. But, you know, we're supposed to what? Seek and knock and ask. And he said, these mysteries, it talks about in the New Testament or the Renewed Testament.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to reveal these mysteries to us, that our eyes would be open, that we wouldn't be caught in darkness.
That's right.
That we wouldn't be caught unawares.
That's it.
What does it say? People say, well, we're not going to be, it's going to be like a thief in the night.
Yeah, forbidden knowledge. That's
but
not true.
But it doesn't say that. It's only going to be like a thief in the night to those who
don't know the Lord.
Don't know.
If you study your Bible, know what the Bible says, you're
don't
not going to be
Lord.
Caught in darkness.
Even many of the church, they only read part of that chapter. They
That's
only
right.
read part of that scripture.
That's right.
They don't take the whole thing. They pull out a verse, and they don't look at the rest, because it says that we should not be caught in darkness.
That's right.
And that we should not be ignorant of these things.
That's it. Amen.
But it also says if somebody wants to be ignorant, let them be ignorant still.
Let them stay, yeah.
But, you know, God wants us to know, and he wants our eyes to be opened, and he wants the Jewish people's eyes to be opened to know the truth.
The truth, because it'll make us free.
Amen. It
certainly will. Well, this has been an incredible time. We could talk about a lot more. Well, we got to... Almost 2 weeks until Passover. So
no, we don't have 2 weeks.
Or a week and a half, anyhow.
It's on the 24th.
Right.
It's on the 24th.
And today is what, the 16th?
Next Friday is the eve of Passover.
Okay, so we're a week away.
Yes, next Friday, which would be Nisan 14.
So we can talk some more about it next week, maybe on some other aspect of it. It's so incredible. In fact, in my book, I have two lessons basically on the season of Passover. And
if you want this book, it's called God's Prophetic Calendar. The what's the next word?
Prophetic pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the festivals of the Lord. You said this book was going to go viral, didn't you? Put it on Facebook.
Well, you know, we've had several. We've had quite a few orders from this book.
This week, yeah.
And yes, I believe it is going viral. Amen. And what does that mean? It's, you know, people are interested, not just in what Pastor Gene has.
It's the Word of God.
It's the Word of God.
And it's, you know, always been there.
It's not copy. We didn't copyright anything in this book. And people can copy the pages. There's charts in the back. You know, and we just want to...
We're not trying to make money off of
it. We want people to know and to start to understand the feast of the Lord.
Know the truth.
So that we'll know the times and the seasons that we're in.
That's
right. So if you want this book, I mean, it's, I believe it's a college course. Maybe some people may know a lot of what's in here because... People are hungry and people are wanting to know the truth. And I'm sure there's people out there that know more than what Pastor Gene knows. Or,
that's right.
I, for sure they know more than what I know. But, you know, but we're, God's called us to be prophetic people. And so when we seek and we knock and we ask, you know, God says he's going to reveal these things to us. So this book has been used to in many Bible studies and to open the eyes. You know, all you need is a little bit. All you need, like when the one person said, just to know that they're the feast of the Lord. Got this person's interested. Stirred him. It only takes one word. You know, a prophetic word, sometimes it only takes one word.
That's it.
Because God speaks one word, and, you know, it wakes up our spirit. It wakes
Amen.
Up our spirit man to want to know more. So if you'd like to have a copy of this, if you'd like to have this book, you know, you can just give us a call. I'm going to give you the phone number in a second. And it's $25 plus shipping. And
$4 for shipping, yeah.
Well, actually, you know, it's been costing us like a little bit
more
than that.
Because
some people want it right away.
If I send it book rate, I can get it for that
book rate, we can get it to you in about 5 or 7 days. But it takes a little longer book rate. It's a little bit less expensive. But, you know, the other way, so we've had to pay $6, $7 sometimes for shipping. Depends on how you want it. So this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. You can call us at area code 772-285-7007. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you'd like the book, just give us a call. It's area code 772-285-7007.
So remember, we've been fed a steady diet of anti-Semitic things with the Bible. And instead of showing or teaching people what the Bible really has to say. And so we've been robbed of all this for hundreds of years. And so thank God people are getting their eyes opened up. It's been in the scriptures all these years. And so things are happening and people are getting hungry and they're going to find out more. And so we will not be caught as a thief in the night. So we tell you every week as we close this program, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Standard.